Danny, did you hear that whistle?
Sure did, Amos. That whistle means Rinso White, Rinso Bright, Rinso New.
That's right. It means that this is Sunday. We're on the air for Rinso with Solium.
Amos and Andy Show with Lou Lubin, Ernestine Wade, Johnny Lee, Corny Anderson, Gene Vanderpile, Jeff Alexander and his orchestra, and radio's all-time favorites, Amos and Andy. Yes, sir, the Amos and Andy Show, brought to you by Lieber Brothers Company, makers of Rinso, the only soap that contains Solium. That's why Rinso gets your clothes whiter and brighter than new.
Rinso White, Rinso Bright,
Rinso New.
Happy little wash day song.
Well, last week, Andy finally got his uncle's inheritance and is living off the fat of the land. The kingfish, however, lost out on his share, and he's been down in the dumps because he and Sapphire were counting on using the money for a summer vacation.
Listen, George, money or no money, I done arranged for us to take a vacation in the country this summer.
What you mean you done arranged? Now, explain that to me.
I done called the employment agency and got us jobs at the Pinecrest Lodge in the Adirondacks.
Jobs? Now, what do you do a dirty trick like that for? Now, wait a minute.
I'm going to be a chambermaid, and you is going to be a waiter.
Now, wait a minute. What, me or Stevens working as a waiter? Think of my reputation and the stigma it's going to put on my family. What would my dear old daddy have said if he'd have known his darling boy wound up as a hash slinger?
George, what are you talking about? Your pa was no better than you is.
Well, now, you wait a minute, Jeff. So happened to my father was a man who was looked up to and admired. Don't forget he spent 4 years in medical school.
I'll say he did. He was the best exhibit they ever had.
Well, at least it was all for science. He didn't join no freak show like some of your relatives.
George, none of my family was freaks.
Yeah, well, how about your cousin Opalescen? Last Christmas, we had to send her 4 earrings. Don't tell me what.
Now, listen here, George. I'll just...
Somebody at the door there.
I'll get it.
Yeah, get there.
Telegram for Mrs. Stevens.
Oh, thank you.
He left in a hurry. Didn't expect no tip, huh?
No, he's delivered telegrams here before. Let me see who this is from.
Yeah, look at the thing there. Ain't no star on it. Can't be from your old lady. Didn't come collect. I don't know who it is.
Good heavens, George. It's from my papa's sister, Aunt Minerva, the one that owns the big business in Chicago. Say that she arrives in town tomorrow, and she expects us to entertain her.
Entertain her? I got the sum total of 35 cents. That ain't enough to get my mandolin out of hock. I can't entertain her.
George, we just got to get some money and entertain Aunt Minerva. You see, for years, I've been writing her that you is one of the wealthiest stockbrokers here in New York.
Then, well, why in the world did you do a thing like that? Always bragging.
Well, George, listen. She's always been looking for one of her relatives to take over that business she's got. She's been visiting relatives for years trying to find the right man, but every one of them turns out to be a bum. That's why I told her you is successful.
Yeah, a story like that would keep me in line for the job. Yeah, but what are I going to do now? She's coming here. What are I going
to
do?
Well, George, we just got to find some way to make an impression on her. Yeah. Why, this is the biggest opportunity we ever had.
Well, now, wait a minute, you, honey. Look here. I've been using my head, you. My... My cronium's been working overtime. Let me think here. Yeah, I can't get no money out of Andy, but he's still living up in that big suite at the Lenox Avenue Hacienda Hotel. Why couldn't we borrow that suite from him? Let her think that it's our place and give a big dinner for up there.
Oh, George, do you think that'll work?
Certainly. We'll use Andy's suite, eat the hotel food, and borrow evening clothes from the Henry Van Porter. And Aunt Minerva will never know that the only thing that belongs to us is our underwear. Come on. And I can't thank enough, boy, for loaning me this suite you got here. This place is really going to make an impression on my Aunt Minerva, see that?
Yeah, well, you're welcome, Kingfish. You say Sapphire bringing your Aunt Minerva up here, huh? By the way, what does she look like?
Well, Andy, is you familiar with the beautiful painting of Mona Lisa?
Yeah, I done see the thing.
Well, just imagine that somebody sat on that painting while it was wet and you got Aunt Minerva.
Well, if she's from Sapphire's side of the family, before we sit down to eat, I think I better take a couple of Mother Sill's seasick pills, you know?
Not a bad idea. Any fears like Aunt Minerva would even slow down Admiral Halsey, you know, so you take the seasick pills.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
Wait a minute. Now, that must be Sapphire and Aunt Minerva. Now, remember, Andy, we got to play this thing big now, and whatever you do, don't say nothing about me and Sapphire taking jobs as a waiter and chambermaid up at the Pinecrest Lodge. Now, don't mention that.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
All right, here we go. Come in, come in.
Look who's here, Aunt Minerva.
Well, 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 Aunt Minerva. Welcome to my genuine $20 a day suite. How is you? How is you?
Oh, George, I'm so happy to see you. And this is such a charming suite. Charming. Simply charming.
Excuse me, Kingfish. I think I'll take two more of them seasick pills.
Oh, no. Now, Andy, come here. Look here. I'd like to have you meet my Aunt Minerva Jackson. Aunt Minerva, this is Andy Brown, the well-known and well-to-do playboy and member of the 400 and all that stuff.
Oh, Mr. Brown, I don't believe I've ever met a person before that looks so masculine and so rugged as you do.
Likewise.
Say hello to Sapphire.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Sapphire.
Oh, Mr. Brown. Glad to see you again.
Well, I must say, George, that I am certainly impressed. You must be terribly successful.
Well, when it comes to the filthy rich, I guess I was as dirty as any of them.
Oh, yeah. You know, he is such a successful businessman to even think about investigating him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Well, I had one of the biggest years I've ever had myself. But I'm afraid that I can't have to get some capable man to help me out with my big Chicago business. And if I don't, I may have to sell out.
Yeah, well, of course, I was on the board of directors of 4 or 5 big companies, you know. Who knows, maybe someday I'll get sprung loose from one of them, you know. I might work with
you. Yes, George has been so busy. He done wonderful in the stock market last year. He dabbles in the market, you know.
Yes, I done dabbled some pretty big dibbles last year. Yeah, when it comes to the stocks, I concentrate on the metals. My steel's done pretty good, and my leads and zincs was way up. But I did have a little trouble with the coppers. Ain't that right, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, yeah, they had you down at the station house 3 or 4 times.
Down at the station house?
You'll have to excuse Mr. Brown, Aunt Minerva. He ain't been the same since the door of the bank vault slammed on his head. You see?
You know, Aunt Minerva, it's too bad we can't spend more time together. But we're leaving tomorrow for the Pinecrest Lodge up in the Adirondacks.
Leaving? But I just got here.
Yeah, well, I always have to get away for 2-3 months in the summer, you know. You see, the big businessman like me gets what they call the Wall Street stomach. The only thing that helps us is to get out in the country and get a little fresh air and sunshine on your gallbladder. That's what I got to do.
Well, I'm so sorry because I came all the way up from Chicago to see you.
Well, it's a disappointment to us too, Aunt Minerva.
Mr. Brown, before you order dinner, I wonder if I could use the phone.
Oh, Joe, it's right through there in the bedroom.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, right through there, Aunt Minerva. You'll find...
Hello? Is this the desk? I wonder if you could recommend a travel agent. Yes. I want to give my niece and her husband the surprise of their lives. I want to make a reservation for myself starting Monday at the Pinecrest Lodge in the Adirondacks.
Well, it ain't gonna be too bad me being a waiter up here at the Pinecrest Lodge for the summer. So far, there's only about 10 guests and...
George? Oh, George, a terrible thing done happened. I was making up one of the rooms, and what do you reckon I seen in the hall? Aunt Minerva.
Aunt Minerva?
Yes.
Holy smoke, she up here at Pinecrest?
Yes.
Well, Sapphire, did she see you in the chambermaid's uniform?
No, George, I ducked quick. But I found out from the desk she's registered in room 312.
312?
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel. You know, I picked up some breakfast dishes in there this morning, and I noticed there was an upper plate on the dresser. You know, I had a funny feeling at that time that I had seen them choppers grinning at me somewhere before.
George, what are we going to do? You know, if she finds out we're working up here, we'll be disgraced, and any chance of you taking over a big job at her company is gone forever.
Well, now, wait a minute, Sapphire. Wait a minute. Just stop shaking there. Now, look here now. We gotta duck her until we can figure out some angle to get out of this hotel. Look here. I'm going to call Andy in New York City right away.
Well, you better do something. This is terrible.
Yeah, now, why would such a horrible thing have to happen to such a good, honest, clean living couple like us? I never would.
Listen, George, I got one of the other chambermaids making up Aunt Minerva's room. Is you got a hold of Andy yet?
No, he ain't in his hotel, and I got to call in for Shorty the barber to see if he can locate him.
Well, George, you better act fast. That's all I got to say. I'll see you later.
Oh, what in the world will I... Oh, that must be Shorty now. Hello?
Hello, Shorty the barber's place. Shorty Lewis's habitat. This is the home of Shorty the... This is... nobody's here.
Shorty, where has you been? The operator has been trying to locate you all day.
I was at the ballet show. I go there every day. Since it's a whole 7 shows.
Yeah, well, why do you do that?
That's the only chance I get to see my mother.
Well, never mind that, Shorty. Look, get a hold of Andy and tell him to come up here to the Pinecrest Lodge as soon as he can. He know my address and how to get you. Tell him it's a matter of life and death.
Holy smokes, what's the matter?
Well, Sapphire's Aunt Minerva's up here at the hotel.
Mm.
And we just can't let her find out that we is working up here.
I see.
Now, remember, Shorty, this is very important. So I want you to run out of the house right this minute and find Andy.
I can't run out right now, Kingsley.
Well, why not?
Well, I got a lot of things to do. I'm waiting for the important call. I'm going to get... I'm very busy. You see, I'm no clothes on.
Oh, Andy. Oh, boy, I'm sure glad you got here, boy.
Well, I took the first train out of New York. You say your Aunt Minerva's up here, huh?
Yeah, and that's why I had you come up here now. You is going to help me get rid of her.
Well, how's I going to do that?
Well, now, look here. Me and you is going to convince the manager of the hotel that she is an undesirable guest and will give the hotel a bad name. Now, that's what we're going to do.
Well, how are you going to do that now? She don't look like that type.
Andy, look here. There's only one chance. I'm going to tell the manager that she is a notorious card shark who makes a practice of jipping hotel guests all over the world. And tell him that she is the Jack the Ripper of Canasta. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, well, what's the plan of attack, Kingfish?
Well, now, look, Andy, when we get back to the hotel, I'm going to go right into the manager's office, if you register. Then, if I get in there a couple of minutes, I want you to bust in, and then we'll...
What's this, Stevens? We have a card shark in the house?
Oh, yeah, sir, Miss Williams. That sweet old lady in room 312. Who goes under the name of Minerva Jackson is none other than the infamous card shark, Fair Shuffle Fanny, alias Bottom of the Deck Bessie. That's who she is.
Well, I can't believe a thing like this of that sweet old woman.
Sweet old woman? Why, she is one of the most notorious gamblers and horse players in the United States today. Why, at the last hotel where she worked, why, she wore a phony hearing aid. Turned out to be a direct wire to all tracks.
What?
Oh, yeah. When she sits out on the front porch knitting, she may look like Whistler's mother, but actually she's getting the morning line from Jamaica. That's what she
does. Well, I never heard anything like this in my life.
No.
It's just too fantastic to be true.
Oh, no, it's all true. Y'all, I guarantee that. She gonna get someone in this here hotel if you don't get out here.
I want to see the manager.
Mm-hmm. It's happened sooner than I thought.
Well, I'm the manager. Is something wrong?
I'll say there is. I just checked in at your hotel, and while I was sitting in the lobby, a sweet-looking old lady sat down next to me, asked me when the morning services had begun. Next thing I knowed, she whipped out a deck of cards, and we was in the middle of a fast game of spit in the ocean.
Miss Williams, that sounded to me like the woman I was just telling you about, Bottom of the Deck Bessie. That's who she is, though.
Well, Mr. Brown, there's nothing wrong with playing cards. Did this woman try to cheat you?
Cheat me? Why, that old lady must have had an extra deck hid in her handkerchief.
In her handkerchief?
Yeah, I know there was something wrong when she blowed her nose and filled the inside straight.
Oh, Jim, the smart thing for you to do is to get this woman out of the hotel before she do any more damage.
I agree with you completely, Kingfish.
Kingfish? Mr. Brown, you seem to be pretty familiar with this waiter.
No. The man just made a slip of the lip there. I ain't never seen him before in my life, is I, Andy?
Now, look, Stevens, I don't know what this is all about, but this is obviously a trumped-up story. Now, if I hear any more about this, I'll go to Miss Jackson and tell her the whole story and fire you in the bargain. And as for you, Mr. Brown, you're a welcome guest as long as you mind your own business.
All right, we is going to remember this. When it comes time for Miss Jackson to pay a bill and she suggests a fast game of double or nothing, don't blame me if you winds up sitting behind the desk there and your BVD is. Come on, Andy, let's get it.
Oh, thanks for bringing up the towel, Sapphire. Say, how come you ain't wearing your hotel uniform?
Well, I tell you, me and George got the night off, and we gonna sneak off to the movies. See, that's one way of keeping out of Aunt Minerva's way. But I don't know how long we gonna be able to do it. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, if I get any angles, I'll let you know. Good night, Sapphire.
Well, I'll just sneak down the hall here, and I'll...
Sapphire Stevens!
Aunt Minerva!
Why, Sapphire, I'd given up hope of you coming up here, and I'm so glad I run into you. I bet you were surprised to see me.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm just overwhelmed, and I know George will be, too.
Oh, yes. Let me pop in your room here and surprise him.
Oh, but Aunt Minerva, you can't go in there. You see, it's a... That is a... There ain't nobody in there. I mean, that is empty.
Say, Sapphire, to keep what we're doing on the QT, why don't you and me just... Hello, Aunt Minerva.
Why, Sapphire, you came out of Mr. Brown's room.
Excuse me.
Sapphire, I'm waiting for an explanation. What were you doing coming out of Mr. Brown's room?
Well, you see, Mr. Brown is a... he's a doctor. That's right, he's a doctor.
A doctor?
Yes, uh-huh. He was giving me a prescription for George. And I have to rush right back with it. But I'll see you later, Aunt Minerva. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, that's nice. Mr. Brown is a doctor. I haven't been feeling a bit well. I know just what I'll do. I'll call up Dr. Brown and have him examine me.
Yes, Anna Sapphire really thought quick when she popped out of your room there, didn't she, boy?
Oh, she sure did. She told Aunt Minerva I was a doctor, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's what she told her.
Yeah, well, you was off the hook for the time being anyway.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'll get it, Anna. Hello?
George, this is Aunt Minerva.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not feeling a bit well, and I'd like Dr. Brown to come over and examine me.
Drop the phone there. Excuse me, Aunt Minerva, you didn't say something about Dr. Brown, did you?
Yes, I want Dr. Brown to come right over and examine me.
Yeah. I tell you, he won't be able to, you see, he busy with an appendix operation.
Well, he can come after that.
Yeah, well, it might be a long wait, you see. I think he's taking out his own appendix, that's what he's doing. Well, I'll talk to him, though. So long.
Listen, Kingfish, I'm getting out of here. I ain't getting messed up with this.
Well, now, wait a minute, Anna. Wait a minute. I'm just thinking here. You being a doctor may be the way to get rid of Aunt Minerva.
Oh, no, you don't. I ain't going to knock off no old lady.
No! No, we'll just go over there and examine her. Oh. And then we'll tell her that the reason that she ain't feeling well is she allergic to the place up here. That's what we'll tell her.
Yeah.
Or the climate or something, and everything else wrong with her.
Okay, we'll tell her she's allergic to the climate and... The only way she can stay healthy up here is to stop breathing.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, here's Aunt Minerva's room, Kingfish. Boy, is I nervous.
Well, now, calm down, Andy. You look just like a doctor with that white coat on you borrowed from the bus boy. And you got that black satchel there. Look fine. Yeah, and I put a lot of stuff in there from the first aid room.
Yeah, well, here goes. I'll knock on the door.
Yeah, now, don't forget now. We're going to tell her that she's allergic to the place here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's you, George, and Dr. Brown.
Yes, I just thought I'd come up with the doctor to see if I could be of any help.
Yeah. In case I gotta cut you open or anything, Mr. Stevens here can hold you down.
Well,
Yeah, well, we all hope the same thing, of course. Always hope for the best, don't we?
Oh, sure. It'll be okay.
Yeah, well, you better start the examination, Dr. Brown.
Yeah, well, wait a minute now. I got to open my bag up here.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother with no stethoscope there. Huh? You ain't going to be able to hear nothing through that blubber no way.
Doctor.
Yeah, well, let me see now where to begin this examination so I can get a grip on this thing.
Yeah, well, Doctor, excuse me for protruding here, but why don't you start from the top, Doctor?
Yeah, that's a good idea. You got any dandruff trouble?
Oh, no.
I don't think that's what's wrong, Doctor.
Excuse me again, but may I suggest that you look inside of a mouth?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Open your mouth.
Ah.
That's enough. We ain't going in there. We're just going to look at it.
Just keep your mouth open there. Like, get in the black bag here, man. Wait a minute now. Here's a flashlight, Doctor.
Oh, thank you. Now, let me stick it in the mouth here and look around.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kingfish, look here. Something wrong in the back of her throat. Something hanging down there. Looks like a shrimp.
Hanging down there look like a shrimp, but yeah. Let me take a look here. Get your face out of the way so I can get my eye up there to a mouth. And there, that's a pallet.
Yeah? Well, that's got to come out sooner or later. Whoopsie daisy.
What's the matter, Andy?
I done dropped my flashlight in there. Kingfish, you got long fingers. Roll up your sleeves and see if you can snag the thing out, will you?
Yeah, well, I better put some antiseptic on my arms before I go in there.
Yeah.
Ain't no use for her to catch what we got mixed up with what she got, you know.
Never mind, Kingfish. Hold it. I got it.
You got the flashlight, huh?
Oh, Doctor, I almost choked to death.
Yeah.
Did you find out what's wrong with me?
Yeah, I got it all figured out. My thorough examination done revealed that you got stigmatism of the throat.
Well, heavens, Doctor, what causes that?
Well, you was allergic to the place here, this Pinecrest Lodge.
Yeah.
Best thing for you to do is to get out of here and get to some healthy climate like Chicago.
Well, that's strange. That's where I come from. But if you say so, Doctor, I'll get packed up right away.
Excuse me, Miss Jackson, but... Stevens, what are you doing here? We served dinner in half an hour and you haven't got your table set yet.
Well... You see, Mr. Williams...
Table set? You mean Mr. Stevens is a waiter here?
Of course, and his wife is a chambermaid.
Well, now, look, Aunt Minerva, that is... I mean, you see, we...
I see through the whole thing. You and Sapphire have lied to me. You're no stock market operator telling me you well off. The idea...
Yeah, but Aunt Minerva...
You is turned out like every one of the other relatives I've visited. For the past 15 years, I've visited every one of them, and none of them's got a decent job, and they is all broke. I is through now. I'm just going to have to go back to Chicago and run my own business.
And Stevens, as far as the hotel is concerned, you and your wife can consider yourselves fired.
Yes, Amos, that's what done happened. Sapphire's Aunt Minerva found out they was working up there at the hotel. They got fired, and her aunt went back to Chicago.
Yeah, well, and Sapphire's done gone over to her mother's house. She don't speak to her husband, the Kingfish, no more. It really is a mess, ain't it?
Sure is. Well, Aunt Minerva found out that he's a bum just like all the other relatives. There ain't no chance of him ever getting that big job with her company now.
Yeah, well, you can't blame Aunt Minerva for getting mad. She came to New York to visit the Kingfish and expected to find him a successful man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been a pretty big disappointment to her, like all the other relatives she's been visiting, I guess.
Yeah, and with the Kingfish out of the thing, I guess Aunt Minerva's going to have to go on being the head of her own Chicago company.
Yeah, Helen, I got back from New York this morning, and I just had to call you. I'm back on the job. That niece of mine and her husband wasn't well-to-do at all. He turned out to be nothing but a waiter, and she's a chambermaid, and I expected so much from him.
Minerva, what are you doing in my office? Get on out there. You got 5 more cars to wash before noon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Amos. We just want to tell you that this will be our last broadcast of the season until next fall.
And before we leave the air, we want to thank you again, not only for ourselves, but for all of our writers, Joe Connolly, Bob Mosier, and Robert Ross. Also our producer, Glenn Middleton, the sound department, engineering department, our orchestra, and its great conductor, Jeff Alexander. Yes, we all thank you for your loyalty to our show.
Yes, and we very much appreciate your loyalty to Rinso, too.
Yes, we do. And because Rinso Oleum is really one of the finest products you can buy, we suggest that during the summer months, while we're on vacation, you go to your grocer and always ask for Rinso. You can get Rinso in the large economical size with the red Oleum label.
And so, as Amos says, we'll be back in the fall.
In the meantime, starting next week, the makers of Rinso have a swell new show for you, one that we're sure that you're really going to enjoy. It's called...
Hit the Jackpot. Hit the jackpot for $10,000 worth of prizes. Hit the jackpot with phone calls going out all over the country, maybe to you, inviting you to share the fun and try to hit the jackpot for a fortune in fabulous prizes.
Boy, all that dough and all you got to do is wait for a phone call.
No, there's more to it than that. Friends, be sure to be listening to this exciting show at this same time next week and find out how to hit the jackpot.
Yeah, me and Amos will be listening in, too. In the meantime, till next fall...
Good luck to everybody and goodbye from everybody here. So long, and don't forget to keep buying that wonderful Rinso with Oleum. Thank you.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.